Welcome to the Toolbox with our hosts Joe Mangi and
the Raven.
Buckle up and get ready. You're not going to want to miss a single second of this.
You're listening to 97.7 WVFF. This is the Toolbox. I'm your host Joe. I'm here with Raven, and today we're going to be talking about tractors. And tractor things, mainly tractors. I don't know. I didn't think of the intro, but I do have some automotive news. It's in my notes. I probably should have pulled that up first, but I didn't. So Whistling Diesel's making like a replica killdozer.
Oh yeah.
I guess that's not news yet, but I feel like it might be news.
Yeah.
In the hurricane. Mm-hmm. And that crazy hurricane that wiped out a lot of North Carolina, unfortunately.
I thought it wiped out Florida.
No, that was the other hurricane. It's been a minute since we were like three hurricanes behind on stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, someone had one of those electric Rivian trucks and it floated away.
Oh, yeah.
But the guy found it and there's no issue with it whatsoever. I think he's still driving it around. Which I thought that was crazy.
The one time, but it wasn't a Tesla, was it?
No, it wasn't. Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Apparently, I heard if you take one through an automatic car wash, a Cybertruck, it can void your warranty.
Because Tesla does not guarantee it is waterproof.
But I didn't. Resistant. That's not from Tesla. That's from the internet. So I don't know. I don't know if that's true.
Elon Musk owns the internet. It's the same thing.
Oh, yeah. And there's that crazy junkyard. That crazy junkyard auction that's coming up. Of course.
Wait, the one with the really old cool cars?
Yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah.
think I would have caught the name of that junkyard, but I didn't. But yeah. I seen a couple videos on YouTube. The Peterson Museum actually had a video on this place. It was a junkyard that's in L.A. That's like they only did foreign cars. And there's a bunch of crazy stuff. Like, there's racks of pre-9/11 Porsches.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And there's, like, three Lamborghini Muras. And there's, like, just all sorts of crazy stuff. There's, like, hundreds of cars that I can't afford there. So, if anyone's looking for old Porsches and stuff.
Yeah.
God, I gotta do better on info. I do have some. The Cannonball Run record has been broken.
What broke it? How fast?
So, the Cannonball Run record for fastest diesel has been broken. It was a BMW 535. The previous record of 28 and a half hours is now just over 27 hours.
Oh, wow.
From coast to coast. So, don't speed. Don't do that. But someone did it. Oh, and Ford filed a patent to play ads through your infotainment system. And that ruined my entire day.
Wait, through like your car?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You house? Know how you get the touchscreen?
Yeah.
Like in your car?
Yeah.
They get a patent out to play you ads through it. Not like radio ads, like.
I mean, Facebook and Alexa are already listening to us. What's it? Your car's now listening to you too. So.
Well, I think it's gonna be.
What's new?
I think it's gonna be like the stupid gas pumps. Like, what's up, guys? This is Jim from Cheddar News. Oh, yeah, that's all I had for automotive news. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and speaking of tractors, like, I really don't know. Don't let the hat fool you. I don't know nothing about tractors, except they're super sick, and I want one. And I figured this part, we do, like, some tractor, like, some brand history.
Mm-hmm. He picked. Did you pick your favorite brand or just a random
Oh, I
brand?
Picked Massey.
Okay.
That's my favorite.
I picked a cool brand. Cool American brand.
Massey's American? I think. I'm going to find out because I don't know nothing about it. I just like the colors. They're my favorite colors.
Sweet God.
Well, and so one thing with tractors.
So you do see colors.
I mean, I'm not color deaf. Yeah, so one thing that I've struggled with tractors is especially like international, because international is bought like every brand before.
Every time you say international, that song pops in my head.
Exactly. So it was international, and then there was like International Harvester, and then there was Farmall, but then it was International Farmall, and then I think International bought Massey, but I don't know. I don't know none of this. I just know it's like every 10 years, like it's hard to follow a brand when the brand changes its name all the time.
Yeah, but this was supposed to be a history project. You didn't do any of the project part.
Yeah, I didn't do the project part. So I just Googled the... I had Google give me the history of Massey Ferguson, so here we go. Hopefully it's the tractor one. There might be a different one. It might.
I swear. And I did all the work.
Yeah. Raven really put in a lot of hours on it. I was sick, though, so...
excuses.
I normally wait for the last minute to do it anyway. But tractors is not my strong part. But yeah, here's my report and not Google's.
Oh, okay.
This is mine. Massey Ferguson is a global architectural machinery manufacturer with a history that dates back to 1847.
Oh, dang.
In 1847, Daniel Massey opened a blacksmith shop and farm implement business in Newcastle, Ontario, Canada. I had no idea they were Canadian. Oh, I guess that guy's Canadian. Yeah, it says right here. His company, the Massey Manufacturing Company, became one of Canada's leading employers.
So it was Canadian.
Started out Canadian. In 1891, the Massey Manufacturing Company merged with Allison Harris. Oh, geez. That's a... With Allison Harris Son and Company Limited to Massey Harris Company Limited. Oh, gee. Yeah, you can tell this is Google.
It's just a lot of S's. You going to just...
It says the same thing like six times. Massey Harris Company Limited. Massey Harris produced farm equipment. They produced it. They produce produce.
What are you? I don't even know what you're talking about anymore.
I'm talking about 1891. Massey Harris.
Okay, continue.
We're not even a Massey Ferguson.
No, right? We're still talking about people.
We're still talking. No, that's the company now. It's Massey Harris. Oh,
named it after himself.
Named it after themselves.
Themselves. Correct pronouns, apparently. So,
they identified as a tractor.
You can nowadays.
Speaking of that, I think I'm in a tractor club. That might be my trick.
I got
offered to join a tractor club, but I don't have a tractor, so I might identify as old Massey Harris.
If that's the case, Cam identifies as Lightning McQueen.
That is true. But, so in 1891, mm-hmm. Massey Harris produced farm equipment like reapers. Harry Ferguson, I don't know how Google picked this, because there's no date for it. But it says, Harry Ferguson, an engineer from Belfast, developed the three-point hitch, which is now the basis for most tractors. He also produced a prototype tractor that implements... Oh, a prototype tractor and implements to demonstrate the three-point hitch called Ferguson's Black Tractor. But that's neat. They came up with the three-point hitch. That's like what they all use.
Oh, okay.
So like the equipment?
Yeah.
It all uses 3-point. We were talking about that at the tractor show. I was boring you with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like all, if you want to hook up something to a tractor, it's all a 3-point hitch now. Unless it's like from the 1800s and it's like chains and stuff. All right, now we're talking about Massey Ferguson.
Oh, okay. Now we're talking about tractors.
It was about tractors. Let's see. Okay, so Massey Ferguson in 1953. Massey Harris merged with Henry Ferguson Limited to form Massey Harris Ferguson Limited. The company changed its name to Massey Ferguson Limited. Thank God. What a name for that one. You get that new Massey Harris Ferguson Limited tractor? Yeah, I got that new Massey Ferguson Harrison tractor.
Just hyphenate.
The triple triangle.
There you go.
That's their logo. No, that's their logo. That's what they
called. That's what they decided.
No, I didn't just come up with that. I wish I was that good at coming up with nicknames.
A whole lot easier for you to talk about.
The triple triangle.
Because it had the three-point harness. It made sense to me.
So no, that's their logo. It's three triangles.
Yeah.
It's like a big one and it's two small ones.
Yeah.
So in 1957, Massey Ferguson introduced the triple triangle, which became an iconic symbol of the brand. And that's all they have. I can tell you, they still use that symbol to this day.
Oh, wow.
Because there's a Massey dealership right on 17. And I got to stop myself from pulling in every time I pass it. They'll probably finance me a tractor and a trailer to pull it.
No.
I just need to find a pick-em-up truck.
You don't need it.
I know, but it's so sick.
You have to wait till we get the property next door before you can get any more vehicles.
I know. I barely got the property I got now. Yeah, that's the bad thing for me. It's hard to justify buying a tractor when you don't own any land. We could farm that .000 something of an acre.
What are we even going to farm?
Microgreens.
What are you going to farm? Because I'm not going to play in the dirt.
I just...
Tammy will play in the dirt.
No, see, the trick is... See, I do it on farming sim. So you plant grass.
Mm-hmm.
You only got to plant it once. And every few months, you mow it, and you winterrow it, you let it dry, and then you get hay. Or, even better, you don't let it get hay, and you cut it, and then you wrap it in the silage bales. Profit. Cows love silage.
We got enough grass back there for that.
No, we don't. Nope.
No?
No.
A lot more?
Yeah. Push mow the yard. What are you talking about?
Seems like a lot. Again, nah. I don't deal with none of that outside, though.
Field of reference. I push mow the yard and I bag it all. And it's one bag per mow.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was more.
If we had a cow, that thing would be dead off that. That's not even one meal for a cow.
We could feed a goat.
Yeah, we probably could feed a goat. What, goats eat grass?
Yeah, they eat anything. No different than Tennessee.
Someone lost a finger, throw it in the soup. Ew. Someone got sick and died, throw him in the soup.
giving homage to Danny DeVito.
That's my favorite Danny DeVito scene when he's talking about just putting people in soup and feeding them.
So horrible.
That's all I had for Massey. Was that long enough? I could come up with more.
No, I mean, it's
your turn. You got a bunch, yeah.
I do. I did my research.
See, I was planning on doing another one after yours, but I'd have to Google it because I'm lazy and I'm not good at it.
And you can't multitask, so you can't Google while I speak to you.
I can't.
Okay, well, I did my history report on Ford.
That's like the best.
I think it's cool, and what I also kind of picked Ford off of its looks, because all the Ford tractors I've seen, they're always a pretty gray and blue color.
Like, I want a red belly.
I don't want a red. I think the gray.
I want a red belly.
I think the antique gray and blue tractor, like, that's really pretty.
I need some old guy to really explain the differences in Ford tractors, because they all look like 8Ns.
I'm about to tell you.
Tell me the difference, because they all look the same. I can't tell them apart.
I'm about to tell you the difference.
And I always have to, like, catch myself.
It's funny, because I got something about the 9N, too.
Didn't know that was a thing?
Yep,
How many N's this tractor got?
They got some numbers, too. They got double digits.
What?
Yep, a whole series of just numbers.
That's another thing with tractors. I found that out with tractors. Like, none of them have names. They're all numbers, and I don't understand what the numbers mean. And depending on the manufacturer, the numbers mean different things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they don't mean anything. And so when I see people talking tractors, it's...
Well, I'm about to tell you.
You got that old 4040 out back. And it's like, man, how the heck...
I'm about to tell you what the numbers mean.
Okay.
All right.
Tell me what the numbers mean.
Not yet. I still got more stuff to tell.
You said you had to tell.
Wait, be patient. I listen to your thing. Okay. So, history of Ford tractors is marked by the development of the Fordson. It was the first mass-produced lightweight tractor. The Ford Tractor Company, which was created to take advantage of customer confusion with Henry Ford's Motor Company. What's really funny is because back in the day, apparently everyone had the last name Ford. And so anytime Henry Ford came out with a new item, other businesses who also had the same last name as Ford would take advantage of the confusion.
Actually,
and also,
that's mine too.
Yeah, and they would release products at the same time and then put Ford on the end of it. So then people would think like, oh, Henry Ford also made this. And it's like, no, we got nothing to do with that, but we're not going to tell you. So the Fordson, Henry Ford wanted to create a tractor for small farmers. Or for small farms.
for like little baby farmers.
For small farms.
They couldn't climb up into big tractors. It was too small.
But the Ford Motor Company stockholders initially thought it was a bad idea. So they said, no, don't do that. But Ford decided he was going to do it anyways. So he got Henry Ford and his son decided to assemble the first Fordson tractor in 1917.
Long time ago.
Yeah. His son, I think, was 17 or 18 at the time when he got him to help with this.
Hank the Deuce?
I don't know. It didn't tell me his name. It just said Henry Ford and son. It didn't give him credit.
I think that's Hank the Deuce.
It didn't give him credit for it.
The best nickname ever.
But what was funny is even though the stockholders rejected this idea when Henry put the first one out on the market, it was a huge success. People loved it. So not only did he start making them in North America, but then he also sent them to Europe, and they were even a hit over there. People were using them for all kinds of stuff. They were using them for hauling lumber, coal, brick, you know. Anything.
They're just using them as pick-em-up trucks.
And yeah, anything they wanted to move, they were getting a tractor, and that's what they were doing with it. And I didn't know, so I knew Henry Ford sold in America. I didn't know he was so big over in Europe.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, like, he was as popular over there as he was over here.
Ford, I think still to this day, is one of the few companies that overseas, it's still Ford.
Yeah. They don't name change.
Yeah, because, like, GM overseas is Holden and Vauxhall and what's the other one? What's the British one? I know I'm getting off topic. It's the British cop cars. What are they? What are they called? Someone ring it and tell me.
It's not what I was about to say.
I'm giving up. Tapping out.
It'll come to you at some point. But speaking of other tractor brands, so in around the same time, actually, 2 years before Henry Ford put out the Fordson, two buddies in 1915 named Bear Egwin Ewing?
Eugene.
Nope.
Ewig.
His name was Bear. And Paul W. Ford, who is, again, not related to Henry Ford himself, they had their own company already going. They were selling other tractors, or not tractors, but like, what did they have? They were making like these little vehicles that could do the same thing. But because they weren't affiliated, they weren't as popular, so nobody was buying any of their stuff.
Huh.
But then when Henry Ford came out and put out his Fordson, they took advantage of that and started marketing theirs as Henry Ford's.
Like,
they changed the name, so then whenever people would come over and be like, oh, are you selling the Fordsons?
Yeah, it's right here.
Yep, that's what they were doing. and they did that for, what, 2 years? Yeah, they did that for 2 years until Henry Ford found out and thwarted their plans by changing the name.
Oh, there you go. I'm amazed. They get rid of it that quick in 2 years.
But I thought it was hilarious. They were like, they weren't selling anything at first. And then when he put out his, they were like, We can hop on
that. We've been selling this Ford tractor all the whole time.
Oh, yeah. All they did was soup it up a bit because Paul W. Ford, who was partnered with Bear, he owned a hardware store. So they just spruced him up a little bit, sent him on the market. Just
put a bunch of nails in him.
I mean, how much... I'm just wondering, like, the people who were buying these, did they really not know the difference between Henry Ford's Fordson and this Ford's?
Well, I mean, they couldn't Google it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you had to see the other ones around.
Ah, you'd have to go 1,000 miles to the next farm. Hey, buddy, let me take a look at that tractor you got.
That probably was right. In 1928, the Fordson tractor production was halted in the United States. So he stopped selling the Fordson in the United States, but continued to sell it in Ireland and in England.
That is neat.
Yeah, so you'll probably see a whole bunch of them over there.
I have seen Ann Fordson in real life. We've seen the Fordson in real life.
Was it
at Keystone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so this whole time...
There's so many tractors there that it's hard to remember all of them. I only remember, like, the really pretty colored ones.
Yeah, the Fords is just, like, gray.
Yeah, but the ones that are, like, bright red or green or, like, the different colors, those are always really cool.
What was that one? Minneapolis Moline, the orange.
Oh, yeah. Those one looks like race cars.
Kind yeah. Old tractors are cool. I mean, new tractors are cool, but old tractors are cooler.
The reason he halted production in the United States for the Fordson is because he wanted to focus on making the Model A. And I don't know, those of y'all, if y'all even remember when we did our talk on old cars and Henry Ford's old cars, I did do a report on the Model A. Though I do not even remember what I
thought. I was about to say, I don't remember it either.
Yeah, but I know I did.
But...
Let me finish this part.
You finish it, because it's probably in there anyway.
Because at the time when Henry Ford stopped producing the Fordson, his competitors had caught up by 1928, and they took advantage of him stop selling tractors, and they brought out theirs. And the main competitors who came out to take advantage was International Harvester. And they introduced their new tractor that could convolt... Blah, 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 blah. The International Harvester introduced their new tractor that could cultivate row crops. Hey. This was the first one.
What were they doing with the tractors before that?
I don't know, but that all the research was saying that International Harvester came out with the first tractor that could cultivate row crops. And I thought that was pretty interesting.
That is really interesting.
Yeah
I guess they kind of just scattered the seeds.
I don't know. But
I don't know how farming works.
We
should have brought a farmer in.
I tell you what. I don't know how they were doing it back in the day.
They had a big old ox. They had an oxen.
Well, that was before they had tractors. That's what they used.
They had a plow. They had a one-row plow.
That's when they'd have 12 kids and they'd send the kids out to go plant all the seeds.
I guess so. We seen at the Amish. We're at Amish town. Remember they had the old-school cedar? And, like, it had, like, three seats.
Yeah, for someone to sit.
The kids would just sit and plant.
Sit and plant the seeds. I couldn't believe they were still doing that in today's age. But that's the Amish. I wonder
what kind of tractor the Amish use.
I don't think they do. Can they?
I don't know. If you're Amish, call us up.
Is it the Mennonites that can have technology? I think we'd have to talk to one of them.
I don't know. Apparently... So I found out the other day, apparently there is, like, Amish, like, around Charleston. Never seen them.
Oh, they're probably not in their outfits. They're probably,
In disguise?
No, there's a thing. So whenever they leave the community, they're allowed to dress down, and it's rumspringin'.
Oh, no.
They leave the community for a certain amount of time to experience, you know, the outside world, and then they decide, okay, do I want to stay here, or do I want to go back to my community? And then if they decide to go back, then they go back, they put on their attire, and they never leave the community again. But if they decide to stay, then they stay, but they can never speak to people back home again.
Amish culture, like, amazes me. I'm so interested by it.
It's very interesting. And the people you can talk to are, like, pretty cool people
to talk to. I seen it was an Amish couple. I was in downtown Charleston. I seen an Amish couple. It took, like, everything in me to stop them. Like, to stop me from stopping them and bugging them on their honeymoon.
Yeah.
Where are you guys from? What you doing?
No, but they probably got, we are so off topic right now, but they probably had to get permission from the community to leave to do that.
Yeah, but that's what we should get an Amish person for farming advice.
You don't, it's not that easy. You can't just show up and say, hey, can we borrow somebody? You have to
You
have to go through channels.
Gotta write a letter.
That and a whole bunch of other stuff. I don't think you should be able to do that anywhere, but just walk up and say, hey, I want to borrow somebody for something.
No.
Just go to a company.
Man, I got friends that for him. I probably should have phoned them.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, I'm about to make like a whole, we're about to make a mess. We're about to.
We are tell so everything off topic wrong. Right now. I haven't even finished my history report.
Oh, do your history.
I don't even know where I left off at this point. Hold on.
We were talking about Amish tractors.
No, cultivating row crops. Okay, so while Ford had paused his building tractors, he was,
He was getting ready. Yeah, he was getting ready to, like, assembly line them, making them more efficient.
Yeah, more efficient. He was making the assembly line more efficient. He was going to make a bunch of them. And he was doing the practice run with the Model A's, assembling the new Model A's. So once he got that figured out, the new system for it, he came back in 1939 with the new tractor model, the 9N.
Hey.
Yeah. And then a couple years later, back in 1957 to 1962, he brought out a new series of tractors called the 1 Series. And all the model numbers ended in 1. And the first number indicated the tractor's power and configuration. And then the second number indicated the transmission, hitch, and PTO options, which is power takeoff. Which is what powers the attachments. That's what I'd asked you about.
Yeah, that's one thing I know about tractors.
I didn't know what PTO stood for. I thought it was paid time off. And I thought that was kind of weird for a tractor.
Nah, you can't take time off if you're a tractor. You gotta earn your keep.
But in 1991, sadly, Ford sold his last tractor and his whole tractor operation to Fiat.
In 91?
In 91.
Huh.
And then while he did that, he also allowed New Holland to use the Ford branding for a limited time, and they used it until 99.
See, I always thought that Ford changed their name to New Holland because they were getting too close to, like, being a monopoly.
No, he probably let them buy... Well, that's probably how he got to say, is that he let them buy the rights... So it's like, yes, he made a profit, but they also got to make a profit off of it, too.
I want to talk trash about Fiat, but I don't think I can. Because I think Fiat actually owns a lot of tractor manufacturers, like tractor companies. They're like Volvo. They're like Volvo trucks.
If you start talking smack about them, you'll go to buy a tractor one day, and they'll say, we know you.
He's like, yeah, you slandered us.
So you're not allowed.
You're not allowed to be a farmer. And we heard you. You don't even know what you're talking about. And I'll be like, well... You got me there. give me the one horse plow, please. There's someone selling one on Marketplace. I had to stop myself from buying it.
You did not.
Yeah, it's like an old antique plow.
Where are you going to put it?
I put it in the front yard.
I swear to God.
Next to the trees. It'll look nice.
Okay.
So, like, this is how I think you've made it in life, is when you have an old tractor as yard art, but... The front yard isn't big enough for a full tractor.
Mm-mm.
So, just like you have a plow. Plowing like a skeleton of a horse.
See, I would be okay with that year-round. I don't think our neighbors would be okay with that year-round.
Maybe, I don't know.
We just put a different wreath on its neck. For the different seasons.
it's just a horse. Oh, that's yard art. Gonna go out there and feed the yard art. is that all you had for yours?
Yes, that is my history lesson.
What should I do? Oh, man, that was part one.
Okay.
Man, we got the listeners excited for more history. I got some bad news. You're gonna have to come back for part two.
Sorry, I really was thirsty.
This was part one of tractors. Man,
a history of tractors.
A history... of two brands of tractors.
Yeah. way, this was the history of Massey and Ford tractors. Yes. How about that?
Massey was quite a short history because I did not do any research. And I went to a tractor show yesterday and I didn't see a single Massey. But I did see a big old John Deere.
I don't think there was a Ford out there either.
What are you talking about?
We should have done Oliver.
Yeah, we should have done Oliver. We shouldn't be recording. Because they're going to think we're going to do Oliver next, and we're not. Thanks for listening to The Toolbox. Bye.
Keep it cranking.
We thank you for staying tuned to The Toolbox. If you missed it, not to worry. You can always find it over on WVFFradio.com. Thanks for staying tuned to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM, The Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.